You are listening to Winning with Mainstay. The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Mainstay Financial Services, with host Bob Burgi.
Good morning, Jenna. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. I'm happy. I'm excited.
All right. Well, it's so nice to see you.
I feel like we should be rubbing our hands together while that song plays.
Yeah.
Like grooving, rubbing our hands together.
Yeah. Well, you know, we usually talk about money, wealth management, a lot of even tax issues. But today, we're actually going to talk about Medicare. Jenna, did you know what time of the year it is?
Well, if you're asking me what season it is,
It is Medicare.
Is that annual, a season?
It is. We are coming up on the Medicare annual enrollment period.
I knew that, yes.
Okay. And you know, look, it's not important to some of us, okay? It's important to me.
I'm getting there. I know that people who I love need to be aware.
That's right.
Listeners who I love need to be aware. So I'm very excited for you to talk about this.
That's right. Okay. So before I introduce our guests, I want to share with our listeners that the annual enrollment period for Medicare begins on October 15th and runs through December 7th of this year, of course. This is the time when you want to immerse yourself in the Medicare changes, all things Medicare, and you know, certainly the plan you're in, and if you're in the right plan, and you know, the cost changes that are coming for 2022. But anyway, I have with me today husband and wife team, Keith and Pam Giles. They work with us at Mainstay Financial Group. We like to say we're very vertically integrated. Okay, we have not only wealth management and a lot of other retirement planning, Social Security planning, but also Medicare planning, and that's where Keith and Pam come in. So welcome.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. They look at each other like who's going to speak first.
That was so polite.
They're both very talkative. Let me just make that very clear. Anyway, all right, we're coming up on the annual enrollment period, and I'm going to throw an acronym at you, ANOC. Okay, mm-hmm. ANOC. It stands for they say this all the time. ANOC. ANOC stands for Annual Notice of Changes, correct?
Correct.
All right. Annual Notice of Changes for Medicare. And everybody's getting notices right now. Everybody typically 65 and over who are on Medicare. And also people that are not, correct?
Correct.
All right. Tell me a little bit about ANOC, why it's important right now, and also why the annual enrollment period is important.
Sure. ANOC is important because it tells you how your plan's going to change for the next year. And a lot of people don't really know what they are, and they take them and throw them in the round file. And so we want to make sure that you do review them. And if you have questions about the changes, we can go over it with you. It's a lot of times prescription drug plans, especially like 2022 coming up, they're going to have a few changes, and that's where some of our cost changes come in.
Okay.
Prescription drug plans have deductibles, so the drug deductible has gone up, and so has the premiums. Premiums are all kinds of different levels.
The premiums across the board have gone up?
Yeah.
Pretty much? Okay.
Yeah,
no big surprise.
No big surprise. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So as far as the ANOCs go, you know, you said that a lot of people get these. It's not like a proxy or something that comes in, you know, just sort of a notice. This has some very important information about how your plan is going to change. Sort of like when you get, you know, these notices, changes to your account, your credit card, your bank account, things like that. You need to read it. You know, you get changes for your 401k, the different funds that are available. This is the same thing. But not only that, it alerts you to the fact that these things are going up in price.
Absolutely. And if you've had changes in your medications, throughout the year, it's a good time to take a look at what you have and what's out there and find out what's the most cost-effective prescription drug plan for you, be it within your Medicare Advantage plan or be it a standalone prescription drug plan. So this is what your ANOC does. It's let you know what the changes are, and now you need to take a look and see if you need to make any changes.
Okay. There's also a period coming up in at the beginning of next year, mm-hmm. that allows you to go back in. It's sort of like filing an amended tax return, right? You can go in and make changes to the changes you already made or possibly failed to make. Is that right? In January of 2022?
Yes. So during AEP, I'll just kind of reiterate, you can make more than one change during your AEP, and it's like the last one in wins if you get it in by December 7th. When you go to OEP,
okay, let's define. AEP is the annual enrollment mm-hmm. period beginning October 15th, ending December 7th.
That's correct.
Open enrollment. Go ahead.
That's the one January 1st to March 31st. Pretty much this applies to people on Medicare Advantage plans,
okay,
because they can switch plans. Say you made all your changes during the AEP period and something happens, you don't like the plan, the doctor switched plans, whatever the reason may be.
You moved. Okay.
Well, you moved could be another reason. But right. Basically, you can switch from one Medicare Advantage plan to another, or you can drop the plan and say, no, I want to go back to original Medicare, maybe pick up a supplement, maybe not, and then pick up a separate drug plan.
Okay.
But it's only used for switching your Medicare Advantage plan or dropping your Medicare Advantage plan. And that's a one-time good deal. That's why I wanted to say, if you do it in January, you're done. If you do it in February, whatever,
right,
it's one-time change.
Right. So who should be dialed into this? What sort of people? Not necessarily people that are enrolled in Medicare, but people that are coming up on that.
For pre-planning purposes,
yeah.
You want to be aware of what your choices are, and that's one of the things that we like to specialize in, is sit down, show you what we have on original Medicare and what your choices are, and those are the people you want to do your pre-planning, and you can get established an idea of what your costs are going to be when you actually get on your
right.
Medicare.
And possibly also caregivers for people that are on Medicare, children that, where the parents may not be as alert as they once were, or possibly able to unpack exactly what's going on with the annual notice of changes, correct?
Absolutely. We've had on more than one occasion someone that's taken over a caregiver position for somebody. And, you know, sometimes people that are not sure what they have, they'll have two or three cards that are 4 or 5 years old. They're not active plans. And a caregiver will come in and say, hey, how do we fix this? What do we have? And we take a look at what they have and help them square things away. And that is a good point. A caregiver will come in and take care of those things for
you. Yeah, and not necessarily a caregiver, a paid caregiver, or somebody that, you know, wears that title. It can be children that are just, you know, maybe they're in, you know, maybe they're checking in on mom and dad and their finances, or, you know, just want to see what's going on with Medicare. So, mm-hmm. you know, it applies to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a very good point to bring up. So a lot of times that when we're sitting in front of a client, we will ask for a significant family member or something, emergency contact with them. So I've been known to at some times call the emergency number and say, this is how it's going for your dad or your mom.
Right.
And it's a funny story. So one gentleman was living on his own. He wasn't going to move up north to be with his daughter, which he should have been. So I would be giving her reports, and he would wonder, why? How does she know these things? And I kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He really needed assistance. He was an engineer with NASA, and he had all these things around him all the time, Pam and I went over there and actually cleared up a lot of his bills for him. But I reported it to his daughter because we were concerned about his well-being, and he really needed a caregiver to help him in the area. So
yeah, and you know, one of the things we do on the investment and wealth management side, of course, we don't necessarily implore people, but we certainly give them an opportunity to name a trusted contact, or, you know, better yet, if you have a power of attorney or, you know, healthcare surrogate or something like that, let's make a copy of that document. That's going to help us be able to talk to people going forward, you know, about these issues that come up. And they can be medical related, or they can be, you know, financial investment, you know, operational things at home that we need to contact them for. Okay, Jenna, we have a caller.
Yes, we do. Susan from Pensacola is on the phone. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Hey, Susan. What is your question?
Hi. Well, I do have a Medicare question. I am 66 and on Medicare, and I would just like to know, what are the biggest changes for next year, and is there a reason, do I really need to meet with a Medicare consultant?
Okay, who's going to handle that?
Well, you don't have to meet with a Medicare consultant. You could even give a call in. You should have received, we were talking about that annual notice of change. It depends what kind of plan are you on. Are you on a Advantage or a supplement? Do you know?
I am not sure. It's all still fairly new to me.
Okay.
And I didn't realize I had to make changes every year.
Well, you have the option to make changes every year. You don't have to, but that's one of the questions we ask is, you know, when you get first enrolled, a lot of times you're not sure what kind of plan you have or what the costs are, and that's where we can at least do a review with you and say, hey, this is what you have, and if you haven't had changes in your medication and you're happy with the rate change that possibly, depending on the plan you're with, then you don't have to make changes, but you have the option to do that this time of year, and that's why it becomes important to know what you have and if you need to make a change.
Right, and Susan, I'm not the Medicare specialist, but I do know that this is something that you should revisit every year because it changes every year, not unlike tax laws, okay? Not unlike, you know, not unlike a lot of things. Okay. So you need to revisit this every year and at least meet with one of these folks, during the annual enrollment period. Keith, you were about to add something. Let me say one other thing, because I think it's important. Meeting with Keith or Pam costs you nothing. Okay. These are folks that are, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, deputized by, they're licensed, okay, to consult in this, okay, but they are licensed. You don't pay them anything, okay? What they are paid comes from actually the Medicare product you go into, and it doesn't cost you anything additional than going online and doing it yourself. So this is real important. Get some advice. It doesn't cost you anything extra. Go ahead, Keith. I cut you off.
Yeah, that's fine. No, I was just curious, how did you go about getting your plan? Did you get it on 800 number? Did somebody come in to talk to you specifically?
Sounds like online.
I did it online, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we run into this a lot. A lot of times they'll have banks that just call people and sign something up, and then you don't get the whole story. I always say it's better to work with an independent agent that's local, because – hey, if they make a mistake, you could throw a rock through their window or something. So, I don't know if I could say that, but
yeah, where are you from, pal? Gosh, we don't do that here in Pensacola, Florida.
That's amazing.
now you're involved with all these commercials. You get everything for free, and Joe Namath doesn't answer his phone and things like that. So, it's better to actually have somebody that you can talk to or call, you know.
Yeah.
And it eliminates
That's
some
good
of your
advice.
Problems.
Good to know.
Susan, let me tell you one other thing. We have a lot of common clients, and I handle the investment side, they handle the Medicare side. And you know, my eyes glaze over, okay, when we start talking about this. There's so many nuances. It is very, very complicated. It is, you know, not unlike, you know, meeting with an accountant and they just start talking very technical jargon. But also, they're all, you know, we're going into medications, different types of pharmaceuticals and different conditions, and they are experts on that as well. Yeah, you know, let me just share with you, if things do go south with someone like Keith, just make sure, you know, that rock goes through the right window, because right. His office is very close to mine. But anyway, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Susan.
Certainly. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I add something just after that, when we were talking about, do I actually have to change plan? What do I have to look at for changes? Drug plans is a big biggie, and knowing what your medications are and formularies and what the expenses are, talking to a person, an independent agent can help you figure out what your medications are, what your costs are going to be, so you could actually plan for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so some of your diabetics, there's, 2 years ago, they changed it where it was more affordable for insulin-dependent clients, right?
Yes, there's a new program out there, and it's an insulin savings program, and this is going on the second year, and there are more carriers that have that, and insulin has typically been one of your most expensive medications, and it always has the deductible attached to it. But if you have a plan that has the insulin savings program, it's one fee right now, it's at $35, and it's like throughout the year for a 30-day supply. And some plans have added that this year, or you might want to consider a plan that has it if you are on insulin and your plan doesn't currently have it. So that's one of the things you want to look at when the year comes around.
Yeah. What medications you're on, you know, is huge. And, you know, my own personal experience, you know, dealing with folks over 65, this includes, you know, my parents, you know, I know that every time I would meet with them, or, you know, see them or talk to them about, you know, how they're doing and everything, you know, there would be a lot of discussions about the medication they're on, the dosages, getting them right, that sort of thing. I don't know if any study has been compiled about how the medicating for those 65 and over increases due to age, or when they're over 65 versus somebody that's, you know, in their 40s or 50s or 20s or 30s, healthy as a horse, right? It kind of gets stepped up as you get older.
Yes.
To keep you together.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And that's, you always want to monitor what meds you're on too, working with your doctor. And do you have to have all those meds? Can we change something that's going to be less expensive or generic? So it's time goes on, it changes, and medicine management becomes important.
Yeah, and for our listeners, you know, I have, you know, I've sat with Keith and Pam. Our clients sit down and, you know, they share what medications they're on. Well, Keith and Pam know what plan you need to be in based on what you're taking, what is being prescribed to you. So that's very important. And, you know, as we go through this life, the medications change, and so do the plans. So lots of moving parts.
Yeah, I'll finish up. So sometimes the plans aren't specifically for you, so there's other strategies you can use out there. So we have a couple strategies that we use in the case of, you know, higher copays on your deductibles and stuff like that. So we'll look that out. I will give you a hint, okay? And we actually hear this from a lot of our clients, okay? That they're using things like GoodRx or asking the pharmacy, how much would it be if I paid cash? Okay, you're going to be surprised some of the savings you're going to get by asking those two questions or bringing that up. So put money back in your pocket. You know, you take advantage of those opportunities. If right, Pam?
Yeah, absolutely.
We get it. We get everybody coming in all the time. Oh yeah, I just use GoodRx or something. Okay.
Paying cash that's been a change over the last few years too. You can just say, how much would it be if I paid cash? You know, it's just strategizing. Yeah. Do I use my plan for this one, or do I pay cash for it? And you can just see what's the best cost savings for you.
Right. I want you to share with our listeners, you know, some of the penalties that, or, you know, I don't want to call them penalties, but you're going to get rung up if you don't get enrolled in a timely manner. And Keith and I have talked about this before, mm-hmm. specifically with the, you know, people will think, oh, I'm not taking anything. I don't need to pay my, I don't need this Part D. Share with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess you could say, but you had made mention that as we get older, we're going to need medicines. So right now, I don't need medicines. I'm not taking anything, but to protect you, it's required through the center, CMS, Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, to have a prescription drug plan. Otherwise, you get a Part D penalty,
right,
which is 1% per month that you don't have a credible coverage plan, and that's a key thing there, until you pick up a drug plan, and that stays with you permanent.
Right.
So credible coverage being, fortunately, the VA is credible coverage for medications. As long as you're on an employer plan, generally they're credible coverage, but you need to check with human resources every year and make sure that you are in a plan that's still credible for your medications, federal retirement plans, railroad plans, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Cobra?
Yeah. Cobra is not. And okay. So that is, we've been working through legislation how long? Probably 5 years to try to get that change. It's just a line change in the regulations up in D.C.
And for our listeners, explain what COBRA is.
So COBRA is basically it was set up to designed for you to transition in between one job to another, and it's an extension of your employer plan. But under the regulations, it's not considered credible coverage because it's not being contributed by the employer any type of money. So it's all on you for your plan. So if they're not contributing money to your COBRA plan, it's not considered credible coverage. That's kind of the short of the regulatory part of that. So a lot of people, it's like, great, hey, COBRA is really nice. And we've sat with clients before and said, does it make sense to go on COBRA even though you're paying this much money? And we found cases where, yeah, COBRA was the best thing for you, especially when we were talking about medications, because that could really knock you off your horse.
Right.
And but there's an associated penalty. So you got to weigh that in there. Should I do this? Should I do COBRA? So.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does COBRA stand for?
Oh boy, you're gonna ask. it's not a car.
Yeah.
It's consolidate. What is it? Continuing on.
Benefit. Okay. Yeah. But yeah. It's up to 18 months.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And I think most of us would, I certainly associate COBRA with being something very, very expensive.
Yes, very, very much so. So yep. I'm in the group part of that. So I see the numbers all the times, and it's something that you really have to weigh, because you're picking up the full book.
Yeah.
Most of the employers are paying around 80% or more for their coverage, and when you get caught in that mess, it would be another thing you want to talk to your financial planner. Hey, is it a good time to retire?
Yeah.
It going to cost me?
So basically, if the employer is paying 80% and you're no longer employed, you're picking up that 80%.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it can be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen the numbers. It can go from, a couple hundred bucks mm-hmm. to over $1,000 per month.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon for a family of four to pay over $24,000 plus a year.
A year.
Yeah. So
that's incredible. So that's why, it's really made to be temporary and for something between jobs. Okay. All right. So I think what we want to do is let me frame a few things that we want to come back to. I want to talk about bills. When folks come to you with the bills, you've got some great stories about that. But for right now, we are going to go to Mark.
Yeah, we're
Jacobs.
About to take a news break. But also, I want to remind everybody that you can call or text in your questions. 850-437-1620 is the number to call. And yes, we are going to take a quick break. Please join us again. We are here with you until 11. 850-437-1620. Mark Jacobs, what you got coming up in the news?
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. No Time to Die is poised to do something no other major blockbuster has been able to accomplish since the pandemic began, top $100 million in ticket sales during its opening weekend. The latest James Bond film, which surpassed international box office expectations over the weekend, will open here this weekend. STEM fields are hot, the arts are not. According to an analysis by Bankrate, the most valuable college major is architectural engineering. Degree holders make a median annual income of $90,000 and have an unemployment rate of 1.3%. You'll also get the best return on your education investment in computer and aerospace engineering. The lowest returns on investment are in the performing arts, composition and speech, and clinical psychology. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 475 at 34,478. The NASDAQ's up 221. S&P 500 up 63. That's Your Money Now.
Hey Pensacola, being Pensacola's plumber for over 40 years has earned us some wonderful customers we like to call friends. This is Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we would like to thank each of you for voting us as your choice for best plumbing service in 2018 Best of the Bay. Having the best team in town and offering the flat rate pricing system that our founder, my dad, Louis Barbieri, founded in the 90s, keeps our customers happy. It's not every day that you need a plumber, but when you do, we take the fear out of the call with the flat rate pricing system. That means you know the exact cost of the job before the job starts rather than paying by the hour. So the next time you have a plumbing issue, call the best plumbing service in the 2018 Best of the Bay, Barbieri Plumbing, 477-8782. That's 477-8782, and like us on Facebook.
License number CFC058082.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
With our Medicare specialists, our Medicare consultants at Mainstay Financial Group, Keith and Pam Giles. Welcome back to the show. All right.
Thanks.
Before the news break, I know you all have some great stories about clients coming in, our clients coming in, and they will have a bill. They'll have a bill, and typically they want to know, why am I paying this? What's going on? Why is it so high? This is not what it says in the Medicare literature. Go ahead and elaborate on that.
Yeah, so we had a gentleman come in the other day, and he came in with a bill from Social Security, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so this is, it always amazes me, the stuff that comes in, and it should not be that complicated, but it is. So, so if you understand what IRMA is, Pam, you probably want to explain IRMA a little bit, but it all had to do with IRMA, and he was sent a couple bills from Social Security, and we had to sort all that out. It took us about an hour and a half to sort it all out and figure it out, but we got it solved, and he was paying the right amount. But I'm going to let you share a little bit more about IRMA and then finish up with him, you know, what we ended up doing.
Sure. Well, as a reminder, IRMA is a income-related monthly adjustment amount.
Okay, and you're reading that. I see that. Okay.
Yes, but I got it. That's a mouthful.
We don't know what it stands for, but we know what it means, and we know the implications.
That's,
okay,
yeah, that's,
just and if I can depart. All right, Jenna came up with the acronym COBRA,
yep,
and what it stands for, and it's It's quite a mouthful, but we know what it is. But tell us what it stands for, Jenna.
I can't take credit for this. This is from our amazing listener, Lisa from Milton. She let us know it stands for Consolidate Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act. I almost nailed it.
Consolidate Budget, Consolidate Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act.
You got it.
Okay. All right. But it's really that temporary insurance that you pay through the nose for in between jobs, or if you haven't quite made it to the finish line, that being age 65, right?
Right.
Correct.
Good enough?
Yes.
Okay. And it can only last up to 18 months.
Yes.
If you turn 65, you want to get off of Cobra too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I heard Keith say sometimes you want to look at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't imagine an instance where you'd want to remain on Cobra once you hit age 65. Mm-hmm. Okay. Back to Irma.
Okay. Well, back to Irma. Yeah. So anyway, it's based on your monthly income, and it comes in stages. It depends what bracket you are, and you'll pay an extra Part B premium, and yes, you pay an extra Part D premium. And we talked about penalties and such as that, and someone said, well, can I get out of the Part D premium extra payment if I don't pick up a Part D? And I was like, well, no, you still have to pay Part D, plus you still have to pick up a drug plan. And if you don't pick up a drug plan, you're going to get the penalty for your Part D.
For not,
for enrolling, not enrolling
in the drug plan.
In a drug plan.
1% per month. That can add up in a hurry.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And, okay, let's talk about, you know, the other, you know, I know enough to be dangerous, but let's talk about the two-year look back.
Yes. They take a look at what you file on your taxes going back 2 years. And obviously when people retire, they're not going to be making the same income. So, and it's not permanent too. It's like I said, it's a 2 year look back, and when your income bracket changes, then the IRMA goes away. But there are strategies that you can take to plan in advance by talking to your financial advisor or talking to us to see what your IRMA rates are, and you can plan for what your costs are going to be.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the gentlemen that we met as well, probably the same week, he had an issue like that where his 2 year look back period was seen to be wrong. So we helped him. We showed him how to file an appeal with them, and I don't know where it stands yet. But
right.
there was some discrepancy on what IRS was showing versus what CMS, Social Security was going. So we helped him file an appeal. So I'm kind of interested in
what the outcome of that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You work until you're 65. You go on Medicare. You look back to what you were making at age 63, and that's what your premiums are based on.
Yes.
Okay. So you have 2 years of what is arguably your peak earning years, you know, the end of your career, and you're paying a lot in Medicare premiums. Do you ever advise that they I guess really you'd have to stop working to make that go away? It's based on earned income.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So And there's all kinds of ways to calculate that, right? So
yeah.
If you're pulling and stuff like, so anything that's basically filed on the IRS, so.
Yeah. I think so, it's actually, the term is modified adjusted gross income.
Right.
MAGI.
Yeah. That's why I think it's important, Bob, that when people are starting to think about it, the earlier the better to talk to you.
Yeah.
And start planning ahead, because we don't want to wait till the last minute to start changing things on age 62. You know,
right?
You want to start as early as you can to keep money
plan.
In your pocket.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's a big hit. Okay, you're going from working to not working, and for the next 2 years,
yes.
Your Medicare premiums are going to be higher than they're ever going to be.
Right.
Arguably.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then once those 2 years fall off, you're good.
Yes.
Yes.
Sort of an initiation fee, right?
Correct.
Yeah. You made all this money, you better put money away to pay the premiums, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have a question, a text message that came in. Here it is, Pam and Keith. I am 63 and I am still working. When should I begin to look into my Medicare options? There's a second part to the question. Do I need to if I continue to work past 63? Keith, you're up. Age 63, still working. When do I need to start looking at Medicare options?
Now.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
The sooner the better.
Okay.
Then you can really plan whether or not you want to extend it all the way past 65, which could be an advantage by staying on an employer plan or in that case.
Okay.
If you're not on an employer plan, you're going to have to, I mean, there's no way around it.
Your employer plan hinges on who pays first and what your costs are going to be. That's a cost analysis. So you start looking now. So when you come age 65, should I stay on the employer plan? And the amount of employees makes a difference. You can stay, if you have 20 or more employees, you can stay on that employer plan and you can delay A and B until you're ready to get off.
Really? Okay. So do you advise folks to, go with the big employer and not trade, trade out the big employer for the smaller employer with fewer than 20 people?
Well, it'll make a difference on picking up your Medicare. That's for sure. Yeah. So that's one of the things we run numbers and let's take a look at what your costs are going to be.
Yeah,
that's what Keith said now.
Yeah, most of the driving force is usually it kind of circles around your medication, really.
Yeah, when we run numbers, because that is something we were talking about that a lot. Believe it or not, a lot of times employer plans, even though you may be paying significant amounts for medications, when you go on a Medicare drug plan, it's a whole different ballgame.
Right. And as we discussed, it is not so much the medications you're on, but the medications you're going to be on, okay?
Yes.
And you can't just say, I'm going to go it alone because I'm not on anything. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. I don't know too many people over age 65 that aren't being prescribed something.
Right.
All right, here's another question. The 63-year-old, and thank you for the question, but the 63-year-old that asked, when should I start looking into it? How do you handle the objection that it's changing? It's changing all the time. Why should I get, dialed into it right now when I'm not going to be eligible until age 65? Is that just the ramp-up period and trying to understand it?
Yeah, so there's a foundation there that is
never going to change.
It's not going to change.
Okay.
So that's your basic ABCs of Medicare and how it works alongside an employer plan, all these things that you need to consider.
If we're dealing with two-year look-backs, you need to know these things because you're not going to have a time machine.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point because then you may say, hey, maybe I need to delay this for another year before I pick it up because I need I need that two-year look back to,
Or possibly the 63-year-old that can piggyback on their spouse's coverage, and it means a lot to not be paying that amount based on your income from 2 years ago. You can, ride off into the sunset at 63 versus 65.
Yeah.
Lots of moving parts.
So one of the things that we notice, this is coming in my head, is a lot of times your HR department doesn't really know that. And you being aware at age 63 now is good sign that you need to know more because especially smaller groups that are on employer plans, their HR department's not equipped a lot of times to tell you, hey, you're getting ready to turn 65, you better do something. That they might not even tell you.
Well, I always say this, HR is great, in talking about employee or employer benefits. But once they're no longer your employer, I mean, they're not a lot of help. Try going in and saying, my gosh, on my side of the fence, should I take this pension option or should I take the lump sum option? Should I take a combination of the two? They're gonna throw their hands up and say, I can't answer that for you. Go see your financial advisor, and you should.
Yeah, and we actually love that, because if you're coming in early, you know, now you're looking at your costs. We pass that on to Bob so that he knows when you're building your portfolio that you're going this way, and this is what it's going to cost you in healthcare, because that's important to a financial planner to know that information. So.
Yeah, yeah. There's we did a show one time called Jenna, the milestone ages, okay? Age 55, 59 and a half, age 62, age 65, I'm getting into your territory now, Medicare, age 66 or 67, depending on when Social Security FRA is, age 70, and then, of course, the crowning achievement, 72, when you start having to take your RMDs. Those are all milestone ages with big things happening, choices to make. You have options relating to investments, when you draw down on your retirement plan, Social Security, Medicare, everything. And, you know, pay attention to those ages. And if you need those ages again, give us a call here at the show, 850-437-1620, or give us a call at our office, 850-437-3127. And we'd be happy to schedule a time or provide any information you need from us. But Pam, you were going to weigh in on that last topic.
Yeah, as a reminder, when you're talking about get ready at age 63, we get constantly, people get inundated. Age 64 is the magic number, because you're getting ready to be 65. You're going to be bombarded with mail. What do I do with this? What do I do with that? What's this? What's that? So when you're pre-planning, at around age 63, you're going to be prepared to know what to throw away and what to keep. I just wanted to put that in, because I know people get really confused. So
if you have not, you know, and let's face it, most of our listeners, you know, probably haven't reached age 65 or 64. But let me tell you what happens. At 64, you will receive more mail. Somehow they get your email address too. There's all these companies selling your information. It's not not too difficult to find out somebody's age, right, or date of birth. And I've never seen so much come into the household as when you reach the age of 64, and it's all Medicare related. Come to this seminar. I don't know what is the other stuff. Log into this site, free, right? Well, it's all free, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't pay anybody. It comes out of the election you make. So why not sit across from somebody and get it done right? That's what I say.
Right.
Unless you're possibly a Medicare professional yourself.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's not a good idea to go at it on your own. One of my clients tried that, and he ended up getting penalized on both sides, Part B and Part D, right?
Yes.
But he knew what he was doing, and it's can be confusing, because
what happened?
Yourself up for failure.
There's a certain time when you can actually pick up your Medicare. You can't just willy nilly say, "I think I'm going to sign up for Medicare today," and you have no other employer plan or nothing else. And like he said, he was designing his own plan and thought he'd pick up Medicare during the annual enrollment period.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that. He had to wait till the following year, and then it wouldn't be effective till July 1st. So, like he said, penalty on top of penalty. But he did. He was going to do it himself. He didn't want to sit down and talk to anybody.
And was this person an engineer, or you know, there are some professions where people just want to figure it out themselves, know it, learn it, understand it, and make the decision themselves. I find engineers are those types of people. You know, they really want to they want to know how the sausage is made, you know?
Yes. So before I got in this business, I was an engineer, so I know exactly how they are. But this gentleman was actually a small business owner, and, you know, he's done a lot of things, and it was it was quite exciting. So the poor guy. But he ate his cake.
Okay.
So... But it's just overwhelming.
Don't go it alone.
Yeah.
We talked about all the mail coming into the house, and I'm thinking about all the mail over over our lifetime that has come into the house when it came in. Okay, there's three things I can really think of where the mail starts pouring in. Okay, right. Number one, remember before the 2008 financial crisis, okay, when the banks were up to their old tricks of, you know, we've got this money, we got to lend it all, right? You could get you'd get balance transfer, credit card information, you know, transfer all your balances to this credit card. And at 0%, you'll pay a balance transfer fee up front. But, you know, we're not going to charge you interest for 18 months. Remember all those that used to come in?
Yep.
And then, okay, and that was, you know, we all got that, you know, pre-2008. Then they kind of cleaned it up. And, you know, the banks weren't as anxious to, you know, to issue those credit cards for obvious reasons after the financial crisis. But how about when our children... Now, when they graduate from high school, okay, I haven't had one graduate from high school in a while, but I remember at the end, you know, I guess our kids' ages are 24 to 35. When the 35-year-old graduated from high school, nothing came to the door. When the 24-year-old graduated from high school, lots of credit card offers came into the house. But, you know, you graduate from college, you get another bundle of them, right? They have this information. But the other time you get a lot of mail coming into the house when you get a speeding ticket, right?
Yes.
Take this course.
Yep.
Take this course.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, whatever, $29.99, and it won't go on your traffic record. But this is what happens at age 64. Yeah. You get bombarded with it, and the point we are trying to make is don't go it alone. You have resources at your disposal, including Keith and Pam Giles at our office at Mainstay Financial Group, and they will walk you through everything you need to know.
Yeah, so if one of the things that we do experience, because Pam and I are both veterans, and so we get a lot of veterans coming in, but so I can say it, I'm going to say it already. Don't be a crusty old Marine, okay? because a lot of times we run into this a lot, that their VA benefits is considered credible coverage. It's not so.
Okay.
The medical side.
Yeah, on the medical side. Okay. So they will not get their Part B because they don't want to pay the 160 now.
It'll be 158.50.
Yeah. So.
So you're talking about somebody that spent 20 years. Serving our country.
This is somebody who is not retired.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
TRICARE is a whole new different story.
Right.
So,
right.
And that gets confusing for people too. So we help them out with that. It's pretty easy.
Okay.
But it's the ones that, you know, did 4 years, 6 years, and they're using the VA clinic for that.
I see.
So that usually gets them. And the reason I say crusty old Marine, I had a crusty old Marine. I was told him, hey, it's not credible coverage. You're going to get penalized for Part B.
Yes, it is.
And 2 years down the road, oh, I got it. And I was like, there you go. I also got a penalty. Well, I told you, you know, I guess one other guy, he says, well, he's a Marine. You should have ordered him to do it, and he would have done it.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're a Marine out there, you know, I love you guys to death. But, you know,
VA benefits, TRICARE for life, not the same thing.
Right.
Correct.
That's correct.
And VA, people with VA benefits, they can take advantage of the VA, and there are specially designed Medicare Advantage plans that don't include a drug plan, but these are a lot of the plans that give Part B give back.
Yeah.
So we still encourage veterans to get their Part B because you don't do anything to change your VA benefits, and you can get additional benefits. So that's another
I like to call it, it's like, hey, this is your clip in your back pocket. You can always use an extra clip. So get your money back, continue to use the VA, and when the VA is closed, you go wherever you need to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's great information. And again, you know, the purpose of this show today and the timing is annual enrollment. The annual enrollment period begins on October 15th. It ends on December 7th. There is an opportunity at the beginning of next year to make changes if you goofed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's really, as we said, that's like filing an amended tax return. It's something you don't want to do. You want to get it right the first time. Also, The reason we're able to talk about a lot of these things right now and the changes that we talked about earlier in the show is there's this window of time, a portal, if you will, where you're able to discuss these changes as the changes are formalized. Mm-hmm. Okay. What are the biggest changes you see taking place in 2022?
Well, the Part B, it looks like that's going to go up another $10. $158.50 is what that's anticipated. Your hospital deductible, if you keep just the original Medicare, is going to go up. Your Part B deductible is looking like it's going to go up to $217 from $203. So October, November, CMS will finalize the increases, but just generally speaking, the hospital deductible, the Part B deductible, and the Part B premium.
That's terrific. Keith and Pam, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
I learned so much. I really do. And I'm not saying that. You're right down the hall. I don't need to charm you guys, okay? But I enjoy this, and it's great information for our listeners. Everybody, thank you for tuning in this week. We will talk to you and hopefully hear from you next week. Have a great week.